Cloudcast Media presents from the massive studios in Raleigh, North Carolina. This is The Cloudcast with Aaron Delp and Brian Gracely, bringing you the best of cloud computing from around the world.
Good morning, good evening, wherever you are, and welcome back to The Cloudcast. We are coming to you live from the massive Cloudcast studios here in Raleigh, North Carolina. The Ides of March are upon us. We are about a third of the way through March while the year is flying by. And another Sunday Perspective show. And given that for many of you, you will be listening to this on Sunday, and you know this is where I always get messed up a little bit, at least here in the United States, and I think in some parts of the world, but not all parts of the world, and not uniformly across all parts of the world, tonight or tomorrow, depending on how you think about it, is daylight savings time, or leap forward day, or you know whatever you call it. Basically, where we move the clocks ahead. And I know this doesn't happen everywhere, but at least it does happen in some parts of the world. And, you know, there's all sorts of debate whether it's a good thing or a bad thing. But I thought it would be sort of interesting to use that as a coincidental thing to talk about, you know, in essence, you know, when we move the clock ahead, we sort of lose what was a free hour that was given to us back in the fall when we did fall back. And so now we're losing a free hour that was essentially given to us last year, and we are giving it back. And for those that are, you know, wanting that extra hour of sleep, you're going to lose that. Or for anybody who you know loves the darkness, you're going to lose that. You do get more sunshine. But how does that apply to today's conversation? Well, we are beginning to see more and more, and we've talked about this a good bit on the show in different bits and parts. You know, what we've really seen over the last 12 months or so is just the overall realization in our industry that the loss of free interest rates, zero interest rates, or ZERP as people are calling it, you know, has essentially moved the industry back to a place where essentially financial accountability is going to be king. And whether people like it or not, that's going to mean a lot of things that have been essentially free or without cost or, you know, freely available, free as in free tiers, free as in you didn't have to do some amount of work because somebody else was going to go about doing that, are very much going away. And in many cases, we are seeing what the rest of the world and many other parts of the industries have seen when tons and tons of money is pumped into a system for a very, very long time. And then eventually we sort of go, oh, well, wait, what is the end result of tons and tons and tons of money being pumped into the system? Well, typically it ends up being some sort of an inflation. And what we're ultimately seeing is sort of a combination of accountability towards profitability and sort of normal business metrics in terms of profitability and reducing costs and all sorts of things. And also everybody now dealing with what is essentially not so much inflation in the economy, because that is something that's kind of coming back to earth, but inflation in the software world, in that, you know, so many services that have been delivered for free, in some cases loved, in some cases for competitive reasons, in some cases for other stuff, are essentially, you know, sort of being taken away, or the pricing of those things is going up. And so what I thought we would do in today's show is sort of talk about what we're seeing in terms of some of those ends of free tiers, ends of free services, ends of things that people got, unfortunately, very accustomed to being zero cost or very, very low cost, and why those things are happening, and just, you know, what likely goes forward in our industry now that we're down this path and we're having to sort of deal with accountability. So we'll get to that after the break. Is your cloud bill out of control? Cloud Zero is building a platform that will let you analyze your cloud investment faster than ever before. You'll get accurate, granular visibility into your total cloud spend without the typical pitfalls of legacy cloud cost management tools like endless tagging or clunky Kubernetes support. Cloud Zero is how cloud-driven companies gain more financial control and predictability by driving immediate and ongoing savings. You can answer questions like, how can I save 20% of my cloud bill right now? Who are my most expensive customers? How much does this specific feature cost our business? Join companies like Rapid7, Drift, and SeatGeek by visiting cloudzero.com/cloudcast to get started today. Again, please visit cloudzero.com/cloudcast to get started today. And we're back. And as I mentioned at the top of the show, as you're listening to this, you probably lost your free hour because of daylight savings. in many parts of the world, not all of you, but you know, if you do business in any parts of the world that do that, you you will now be dealing with sort of the clock issue of, you know, different clocks moving forward and so forth. But we're also seeing you know, sort of lots of feedback about this, you know, loss of free tiers, loss of free things, loss of free services. And we've been seeing it in many places, right? We've been seeing it in the cloud providers, for example. So smaller free tiers from some of the cloud providers. We've seen services that used to be unlimited services or free services. So a number of like Google Gmail accounts used to have unlimited storage, now have, you know, fixed amounts of storage, or, you know, free accounts that you should be able to get for Gmail and free domains for small businesses. Those now have services, right? So we've begun to see, you know, things that were free, obviously they cost the business something on the back end. The businesses are trying to drive either greater profitability or lower losses or just more accountability of things to figure out if they should continue to invest in them. We've seen this a number of times with various types of open source projects. And the open source space, as we've discussed many times, is a little more complicated because there are times when you know, the project itself, you know, almost always the project itself continues to be free, if you will. You could get access to the software or the bits, but various aspects of it are changing from time to time. So we've seen in some cases licensing changes, which is less about free and more about sort of trying to create a competitive barrier by a single company versus a community or a set of potential competitors. That's less about free, but sort of, you know, less freedom of the licensing. We have seen instances in which, you know, free access to the bits, you know, for various things has begun to go away. We've seen that, you know, some things like with Hashi and some others. And then we've seen, you know, some instances in which, you know, some aspect of how open source, for example, was made available. So, you know, who would actually do the builds, or, you know, will people be able to retrofit or get backporting of security patches into builds that are for an earlier version of software or those types of things. So we've seen this, you know, for example, with the CentOS project. We've seen it here with Buoyant recently, but we've seen it with a couple of others where, you know, the project still exists in some form or factor. But if you wanted the thing that was freely done for you, i.e., stable builds or, you know, certain specific builds with certain characteristics like long-term support, some of those things are going away, or they've begun to go away. You know, so we've seen some things like that. And then just this recent, this past week, we saw PlanetScale, who's a company we've had on the show before, makes very interesting database technology, essentially announced that they are ending their free tier. They also did some other corporate adjustments and some things like that, but they announced that. And you had a number of people who said, oh, this is, you know, yet another sort of rug pull. But essentially they came out and they said, we are prioritizing profitability, right? And their justification for it was, we are a business built around mission critical stability and uptime of their service. And the more resources they put into non-profitable, money-losing scenarios, i.e. the free tier, the less they have to put into, you know, the resources needed to keep the service up and running and make it stable and be able to help it scale. And eventually, I'm guessing, add more features to it in the future and other types of things that, you know, you would associate with productivity or production and productivity. And so, you know, all these things are interesting to sort of watch because, you know, on one hand, if you were you know, a business student, if you were somebody who, you know, had just graduated from getting an MBA, or you were just somebody who is like, look, my definition of being in business and doing business is we need to make sure that we earn more money than we spend. We are profitable at some point in time, and that, you know, we look for inefficiencies in our business in which we are spending a bunch of money and we're not able to turn around into some sort of return that we want to have, right? So if you look at it from that perspective, a lot of the things that are being done are very standard issue things. Now, you could argue, you know, are these companies or the projects or the leads of the projects giving enough notice to people when these things happen? Maybe, maybe not, right? I mean, you can argue, should it be 30 days? Should it be 90 days? Should it be 2 years in advance? Whatever it is. And IT people are always going to sort of be frustrated because the need to do any sort of work that they weren't expecting to do, that wasn't scheduled, that involves, you know, change and so forth, is always going to be painful. It's never going to be something that you want to prioritize. So I understand the pain that comes with that. But it's, you know, I think this is one of these things where there was a very interesting comment that was made years ago by Bridget Kromholt, and she was on with another person, and we were talking about just software and software development in general. And one of the things that they were talking about, having run production services themselves before they kind of got into any sort of vendor world or any other things, was they, you know, they sort of made this comment and they said, you know, you're going to have a lot of different things that you depend on to do your job or to deliver your service, or to, you know, meet the commitment that you have with your customers or your contracts. But they had a statement in there, and they said, this is sort of the credo we live by, which is own your dependencies, own your depths. And I think one of the things that we as an industry kind of got away from, and unfortunately has created some bad habits, essentially this addiction we have to the free tier in many different ways, whether it's a cloud free tier, or it's there will always be a free version of the software, or somebody else will do nightly builds for us, or somebody else will maintain long-term support, even though I'm contributing nothing back in terms of software or code or actual dollars to the maintainers or any of those things. I think we've got a generation, not an individual generation, but we've gone through 10 years now, at least, of essentially a generation of, you know, IT that has become very addicted to that free tier. And I think we've forgotten the basic core tendency of, yeah, if this is just a hobby project, of which, you know, it's a hobby, it doesn't have any sort of SLAs to it, it doesn't have any expectations other than maybe for you in particular and in your time. But, you know, we've kind of gotten away from the idea of sort of own your depths, own your dependencies, and realize what happens if those dependencies go away. And I think we're gonna see a continuation of this trend of more and more companies, whether they are big successful companies or whether they are smaller companies, we're going to see more and more, you know, essentially removal of these free tiers or free services that, you know, aren't necessarily minor, but they are significant in terms of the cost that they generate in order to do that, or the people required to go about doing that, or, you know, the expectation that people have of how frequently it'll come about happening. So, with all that said, this isn't intended to be a lecture of like, hey, you know, everybody start ponying up and start paying, your fair share, or, you know, contributing in some way, shape, or form. But I do think it's something that we need to think about a little bit, or that people should think about more and more in terms of, you know, it's really interesting to sort of watch some of the postmortems or even just the comment sections when some of these announcements happen, because what you see over and over again is people that talk about their wants. I want stable software. I want a free version of something that is really robust. I want somebody else to maintain it. I want somebody else to add new features. I want somebody else to be willing to backport, you know, when I complain about something and say there's a problem, I want them to backport that. And so there's a lot of wants, and there's talk of the idea of I value that. I value the fact that, you know, a CentOS, aligns to having a long-term strategy, and I want an enterprise Linux that is stable and compatible with all these things. But we've sort of lost the idea that there's any value to that. And that's, you know, that's sort of a weird thing that's happened in our industry, because when we get disconnected from the idea of sort of like wants and needs, or more particularly wants and what you value, and when you start saying that you want something or that you need something, but you're not willing to put any value on it, like you no longer value other people's time, other people's computing resources that have to work on this stuff, which ultimately creates a bill. There's this kind of weird thing we have right now where we love employees of companies. We love that people are employed, and we love when, individuals are, doing well at companies. And then we have this hatred of paying for software or hatred of contributing or somehow helping financially, not just sort of, you know, with your loves and your hearts and your emojis and your, you know, your likes and social media. And somehow we've got this disconnect between we love the employees. We're frustrated when companies lay off the employees because their software isn't making any money. And we sort of blame the leadership of these companies for not having the insight to figure out some new business model. And yet over and over in the comments, we typically are seeing people go, well, I've loved using this software for 4 years and I've contributed not anything back to the people that maintain this stuff. And now I am very upset that they are going to somehow do something different for me. And, or I'm very upset that they ended up having to lay off people. Their leadership should have been better, better prepared to not have to create a scenario in which, you know, they tried to grow the company and then that growth failed, or they made some mistake or something, or they misread the market or whatever it might be. You know, we've kind of gotten into these ruts where, and again, I'm not, you know, kind of going, hey, everybody needs to pay for very expensive software. But we're seeing this over and over and over again in our industry, that we've become so addicted to this free tier and that we've created such weird dichotomies of, you know, what success is going to look like. Like there's this kind of weird undertone in our industry that like success is these entities who employ a lot of people and we're excited that all these people are employed, but yet there's no business model behind that. And then we get frustrated because we go, well, you shouldn't have gotten business if you wanted to create this business model. And at some point it's like, there is no magical business model. The business model is something gets built, they put it in the marketplace, you pay for it, that money goes into maintaining the business, which means employing people, which, you know, and I'm saying all these things and they sound incredibly stupid coming out of my mouth, but I watch our industry sort of have like forgotten that, right? They just want, you know, they want money to somehow magically appear out of somewhere. Maybe it's from, you know, evil, greedy VCs. Maybe they just want free bank loans to happen for people. Maybe they want just things to be bootstrapped by, you know, well-intended things. We want companies to create interesting innovation, but then we also don't want them to grow too fast because then they'll make mistakes. And we've kind of gotten ourselves out of whack. And what we're seeing, and it's frustrating a lot of people, and you know, so be it for them being frustrated, is, you know, a lot of these things that they have liked, quote unquote, wanted, but placed no value on whatsoever, because there was just an assumption that the magical maintainers, the magical project, the magical free tier are just kind of happening. And I don't have to worry about that. I don't have to kick in. I'm not willing to kick in, but I have all the expectations of the thing that I'm getting is what I would get out of something that I pay for. And that it's for a business that will be in business for a long time, or people that will stay in business, or people that are magically good at doing all great things in business and employing people. And we've just sort of, as a whole, kind of lost that. And so I don't, you know, I'm thinking back on this and it's like, what do I know to be absolutely true? Well, I know that, the people that fund things, whether they're businesses or venture capitalists or banks that are giving loans, are going to be much stricter now that interest rates are higher and we sort of have gone through a period of just sort of free for all. They're going to be much stricter about giving away money to allow businesses to start or projects to start that don't have some view of how you're going to monetize it in a profitable way. Not just monetize it, but in a profitable way. I know that for a fact. That's, you know, those days of sort of the free willing are gone for a while now. We might see it again. We tend to see it every 10 years or so. We sort of forget what basic business is. But, you know, the other thing is, I think we are going to see an interesting reckoning happen of, you know, the people that are users of software, users of free tiers, having to come to some realization of like, what does owning your dependency mean? Because in any given day between now and the end of 2024, the end of 2025, your favorite open source project may no longer be freely available. you may no longer get nightly builds, or they may not build it for you at all, or they may not fix the bugs for you anymore. Your friendly free tier may no longer be free. Your friendly bottom tier of the functionality of the software that you use may go up in price 2x, right? All those things potentially could happen. And I feel like we've sort of lost the ability to think through like what might happen because we've told ourselves that there is some, I don't know, contract, if you will, unchangeable contract because it's, you know, honored by something. And we, you know, we've sort of lost track of the, how is that going to happen? Like how do people think that's really doable? So anyways, I think it's going to be very, very interesting to sort of watch what unravels from all of these sort of free things going away, both on the end user consumer side of technology, the sort of business or producer side of the technology. But then also, you know, I really start to wonder, you know, what's going to happen, you know, in the technology world, money tends to come from VCs, right? There is venture capital that drives the beginning of the process for a lot of things. In some cases, it overreaches. In some cases, it makes bad decisions. But it tends to be the thing that originates so many businesses starting, projects starting, funding starting. What rules are they now thinking of? What expectations do they now have of companies? Because if, you know, they look at it and they go, well, we allowed free tiers and we allowed open source and so forth to happen because essentially that was kind of a variation of marketing. It allowed us to build top of funnel. It allowed us to build awareness. You could do it in a way that was, you know, reasonably cost effective. You know, you had a certain amount of people that were out talking about it, you know, evangelists and so on and so forth. And it could spread like wildfire and it could, and word of mouth would spread. But the more popular that was, the less options there were of how you were eventually going to kind of rein it under control and begin to monetize it. And then hopefully keep the project alive, keep the company alive, keep those people employed. The other flip side of it was, well, we could put a bunch of money into marketing, right? Or, you know, expect that the companies that we back or the projects that we back are going to spend dollars on marketing to create awareness through advertising or through some other means, you know, that looked kind of like the free tier, except, you know, they were having to sort of spend for doing it because, you know, the cost of getting, you know, kind of customer acquisition, if you will, is, you know, part of the system. And so I'm very, very curious what's going to happen if they look at the, you know, what goes on and they say, well, we abandoned sort of marketing as something we want to invest in. And we're abandoning investing in companies who think the free tier is the replacement for their marketing. What comes out of this, right? Like what, you know, are we now going to be very much faced with, you know, a, how do we get from inception of idea to profitability, not ongoing profitability. Once you've been in business for 5, 10, 20 years or whatever, it feels like a little bit different kind of business that we're talking about. But, you know, what does first 5-year profitability or get to profitability look like? And I think, you know, we've got a lot of reckoning kind of coming to our industry over the next year or two, and we'll see where this all goes. So I'm going to wrap it up. Thank you all for listening. Again, this was not intended to be a, you know, yay capitalist, you know, everybody start ponying up money. But, you know, I do think there are trends and we're starting to see them more and more that are just the, you know, byproduct of what the last 10 years of so much freedom, so much free money, so much new technology coming out that we didn't really totally know how to deal with it. So with that, I'll wrap it up. Thank you all for listening. Thanks for telling a friend. Thanks for listening every week and, you know, spreading the news to us for free, spreading the gospel of the Cloudcast and asking friends to listen and so forth. So we appreciate that. We have intentions to keep the show free, for as long as we can. But with that, we'll wrap it up and we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you for listening to The Cloudcast. Please visit thecloudcast.net to find more shows, show notes, videos, and everything social media.